Chapter 13, The Difference Between a Touch From and a Vital Union with the Lord. The question comes, even in the midst of so much emphasis today on healing, it seems to me there is an increasing bewilderment and misunderstanding regarding divine health and healing. More people are needing physical help, but too many are becoming bitter. I have never been able to go along with these great healing campaigns, but I do believe it is God's desire to bring His people into a fuller conception of healing as revealed in the Scriptures. On several occasions, I have seen the Lord touch a body and restore it. Yet the question that continues to puzzle me is that so seldom does this healing work bring any real transformation in the deepest spiritual life of these, as we would wish to see. It is because, in their seeking healing for themselves, there is no real giving of themselves to Him for Himself. We remember while He was on this earth how many thronged the Lord Jesus and received a touch from Him. We see His compassion as He put forth a healing virtue to meet their physical needs. In Him, the living God was manifest and working in a general kingdom ministry meeting physical needs. How often we have pondered why there was not a greater evidence of spiritual work wrought in their inner lives. Was there something of an inward work wrought? Something actually accomplished even though we could not see it outwardly? In some instances, as with the lepers who failed to show any gratitude for their healing, it would seem they received little more than a touch upon their outward physical being. There was no evidence of any inner spiritual work which would have manifested itself in praise or thankfulness. Why? I never felt I understood this general kingdom ministry until one day I realized what was involved in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I saw through our union in His death and resurrection, we could experience a vital life union with Him, which was far more than a mere touch from Him. Thus we have the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul as he interprets for us how a new and unique privilege becomes available since Christ arose as the resurrected and ascended Lord. We can have more than a package from the living God, more than a touch from Him. Now we can enter into a vital union with our Lord and share in His divine life. For years I had sensed this general kingdom ministry of Christ, but had not realized that it was distinct from Christ's unique ministry to His body since His resurrection and ascension. I have always been extremely cautious in sharing those things which seem to be a private unveiling to me until there has been divine confirmation through some other servant. I believe this is proper order when we truly love the unity of the body of Christ. Then when I found in a little booklet by Witness Lee, Chinese co-worker with Watchman Nee, this very real confirmation, I rejoiced abundantly in God's wonderful timing and ways. Perhaps it will lend more authority if I quote several portions directly from him, as he makes this important distinction between receiving a touch from the living God and experiencing a life union with the God of resurrection. Why do we stress the distinction between the living God and the God of resurrection? Because while the living God can perform many acts on man's behalf, the nature of the living God cannot blend with the nature of man. When, on the other hand, the God of resurrection works, his very nature is wrought into the nature of man. Brothers and sisters, please note carefully that even when the living God has performed some act on your behalf, after that act, as before it, he is still he and you are still you. The living God can work on behalf of man, but the nature of the living God cannot unite with the nature of man. On the other hand, when the God of resurrection works, he communicates himself to man by that which he does for him. Let me cite two illustrations. When the children of Israel were in a hopeless plight in the wilderness, the living God opened a way for them across the Red Sea. The dividing of the Red Sea was a miracle which demonstrated to them that God was the living God. Yet that miracle performed for them did not bring any measure of the life of God unto them. They witnessed many other divine acts in the wilderness, e.g., God gave them bread from heaven and water out of the rock. But despite those and other wonders performed for them, nothing of God himself was thereby imparted to them. In contrast to this, the Apostle Paul testifies to knowing not only the living God, but also the God of resurrection. Paul was so sorely tried that he despaired of life, but it was thus he learned to trust in the God who raised the dead. When the God of resurrection acted on his behalf to raise him from the dead, that divine act not only accomplished something for Paul, it also communicated God's own nature to Paul. Brothers and sisters, do discriminate here. The miracles wrought for Israel in the wilderness were acts of the living God, but despite the many miracles wrought for them, nothing of God was wrought into their constitutions. The miracles wrought for Paul were wrought by the God of resurrection, and each fresh miracle wrought a fresh measure of God himself into the life of Paul. Alas, though generations have passed since the resurrection, many Christians are almost ignorant of the God of resurrection and are only interested in the living God. Let me try and bring this matter home to our daily lives. A brother becomes seriously ill. His case is considered hopeless, but God has mercy on him and works a miracle on his behalf so that he recovers. Thereafter, he testifies to the fact that God is the living God. Yet within a short time of his recovery, he plunges right into the world. Even when he is living in the world, he still remembers that God is the living God and that God preserved his life from death. But he has experienced no increase of divine life. He has only experienced a miracle of healing. Another brother becomes ill. Day after day passes without a visage of improvement. For long, he keeps hovering at the edge of the grave. Then, when he has completely despaired of life in the depths of his being, he gradually becomes aware of God. Resurrection life begins to work within, and he awakens to the fact that this resurrection life is a life that can overcome all affliction and can even swallow up death. He is still conscious of much weakness and is sorely tested. Nevertheless, the realization deepens that God is not working to make his might known in external acts, but is working to impart himself. Light breaks upon him gradually, and gradually health returns. This brother does not just experience healing. He comes into a new experience of God. The other brother could testify to a miracle wrought in his body and shortly after plunge right into the world. But if his brother gives a word of testimony, there is nothing sensational about it, and there is no stress on the healing, yet you meet God in his life. Let me tell another incident to illustrate this further. A brother who was engaged in export business had arranged a consignment of goods by a certain ship. Somehow the goods were delayed and were forwarded by a later ship. Shortly afterwards, he learned that the boat by which he had originally planned to send the goods had been sunk. How he praised God for his overruling grace. "Oh God," he said, "how powerful your guidance was. You are indeed the true and living God." Sometime later, this same brother contracted tuberculosis, and to complicate matters, he developed digestive trouble as well. The TB called for a nourishing diet while the digestive complaint forbade it. He was in a sore plight, but his wife comforted him and said, "Don't you remember the episode of 2 months ago when God saved that consignment of goods? Oh, our God is the true and living God." But on this occasion, God seemed neither true nor living. For the more that couple prayed, the more the brother hemorrhaged. The more they prayed, the worse his digestive complaint became. He was perplexed. Finally, he gave way to doubt, and his wife began to question, too. A few months later, his business came to a standstill. His health steadily deteriorated, and his financial resources steadily dwindled, till both he and his wife reached the verge of despair. In their extremity, they rallied all their united faith and prayed once again, "O God, you are the living God. We believe you will yet be gracious to us." But the next day, the patient had a further hemorrhage, and neither he nor his wife could exercise faith any more. The living God vanished from their horizon. Friends and neighbors pronounced the brother's case hopeless, and the doctor's verdict confirmed theirs. However, that was not the end of the story. A crisis took place in the inner life of that brother. It began to dawn upon him, though he could not then define it as we are defining it now, that while he knew God as the living God, he did not know him as the God of resurrection. He knew the doctrine of resurrection, but but he did not know the reality of resurrection. He knew in experience that God had come into his life, but he did not know in experience that he had come into the life of God. It became clear to him that from his conversion right up to that time, he had possessed the life of God, but he had not been living in the life of him. He saw that even his faith in God had been his faith. His reliance upon God had been his reliance. He saw all his efforts to please God as something apart from God. He was filled with remorse. He abhorred himself. His healing ceased to be a question. His one question was himself. He became overwhelmingly aware that what he had regarded as his most spiritual service had been something apart from the divine life. No one preached to him, but the Holy Spirit gave him a deep registration of his individualism. He judged himself unsparingly and ceased to entertain any thought of improvement in health or circumstances. At that point, a strange thing happened. His health began to improve. No one knew when or how healing took place. There was just a gradual increase of strength until he was quite well. At an earlier date, he could bear witness to God as the living God and all the while be living his life in independence of God. From that date, he knew the God of resurrection and began to live in dependence on resurrection life from the God of resurrection. In this extended quote, we have been describing how many believers may go along for years testifying to some very real miraculous acts of God in their behalf. And then suddenly God allows them to go into the deep valley. They cannot understand why God does not respond as before, but it is for this reason that he may lead them into a separation from the old source and dependence, because only in death can they be cut loose that they might truly experience the vital union with the God of resurrection. All of this would emphasize clearly two levels of life. Those who enjoy an occasional touch from God are most often still secretly wishing to use him for their own ends, whereas God desires to bring each one into this vital life union with himself, that ours is a continuous participation in him. Such a life can only be experienced as we live unto him and his pleasure. On the first level, the attitude is escape for us. On the higher level, it is a life of fulfillment for him. Once we sought deliverance only, but now we cry for inward development first. Now, as we further understand two levels of ministry, we shall see how there is a proper place for this divine touch from the Lord. There is the building up ministry within the body, that there may be the flowing out ministry unto others. Let us take a closer look at these two. It will help us to remember that in this general kingdom ministry, our Lord often gave the healing touch. Even so, he would use his servants to act on his behalf today. This is the flowing out ministry unto the believer, or even for the unenlightened believer in the church, who have not yet experienced what it means to participate in the vital union with the resurrected Lord. But God's first order is that the members who have shared in this living union participation in his body should also know the unique ministry of building up the body in love. Only when this innermost spiritual kingdom becomes operative will there be an effectual flowing out in the general kingdom ministry. Is it not evident that as individuals we cannot have any effective ministry flowing through us until there has first been a spiritual building up within us? Even so, in the corporate body of Christ, there will come this effectual flowing out, the touch of God upon lives, as there is a spiritual building up of the corporate body. And in God's own time, those who have been touched will come to also experience their vital participation in living union of the body of Christ. How often, as we encounter folk who are facing the bitter experiences of life, do we hear them insist, "Oh, I'm trusting in God." And we are sure, for the measure of light they have, this is true. But God wants to press each one to a much different relationship than merely trusting him for things. He wants to give us a vital union with himself. As we have seen, this was God's plan from the very beginning, not because Adam sinned, but because in his master design, he has desired for us to live by the life of the Lord Jesus, thus enjoying all things, which includes health, not merely healing.